The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
Got my toes in the water.
Yeah, yep, there we go. Toes in the water. We good here? You are listening
to
Boat Smart.
We are so good.
You're listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. You can call us at 850-437-1620. You can text also, 850-437-1620. Maybe you have a question or comment about your boat. Maybe you have a problem with your boat. Maybe you're looking at buying a new boat or something like that. We're more than happy to take your call or text today. Maybe you have a question about the school, Georgetown Technical College. They're over on Longleaf Drive. I'll be more than happy to answer your questions about my program or any other program that I can over at Georgetown Tech. What a great place to get your education in a career technical education at Georgetown Technical College. It's such a great place, and we do a lot of great things over there. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at Georgetown and the Marine Service class as well. Our sponsor is Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine located at 5621 Bayer Road here in Pensacola. 850-492-0487 is their phone number, keymarinecenter.com. I got their website up here. You go to that website, keymarinecenter.com. They have engines and boats for sale on there, and they have their inventory on there as well. I was looking on there. They have a combined certified Yamaha, Mercury, and Suzuki technicians, 100 years of experience at Key Marine Center. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And I have a couple students working over there, and they've probably got 8 or 9 years of that experience. And they came out of Georgetown Technical College. So, you know, that's great. And they can take care of your needs. It's just a little great little shop to do service and repairs or repowers with. So they're just a good little shop over there. Mickey does a great job with his customers and his employees as well. You know, I learned a long time ago, if you have happy employees, you have happy customers. And that's kind of the way he looks at things. You know, he keeps his employees happy. You know, he does what he needs to do with them. And that in return helps to keep the customer satisfied because they're happy. They want to work on their boats and that kind of stuff. So that's a big deal when you go to work somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, to be happy in your job, right? It helps everybody. So Key Marine is your Yamaha, Mercury, and Suzuki repair center. They just received the new shipment of 2025 Yamaha and Mercury engines ranging from 2.5 to 150. These are not listed on the website. So if you call out there and mention Boat Smart, you can get that before listed price. So maybe give them a call out there at 850-492-0487 and get you a special deal on Yamaha and Mercury engines, which they have coming in stock right now out at Key Marine. And, you know, maybe you're having problems with your boat this year and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of this motor. It just doesn't do right for me. It's so old. You know, maybe you got an old two-stroke on there and you're tired of that smoke. Key Marine is the one to go to make that repower happen for sure. Again, I'm the Marine instructor over at Georgetown Technical College. Georgetown, located at 2400 Longleaf Drive here in Pensacola. GeorgetownCollege.edu. Check out their chat feature. They're back to their five-day work week out there. So administration is there. Our counselors are coming back online. They kind of take a little break during summer and swap hours and stuff as far as who's in the counseling area and stuff like that. But I'm pretty sure they're gearing up because on the 2nd, the teachers return, August 2nd, we have about a week and a day of in-service. And then on the 12th, we have students returning. So I'm starting 13 new students in my class on day one. And when we come back, and of course I have my returning students that were there over the summer, and I have students that didn't do summer school, a couple that are coming back as well. So it's going to kind of be a reunion of sorts, and when they all come back into class, but also it's going to be a time where we're going to get to know the new students that are coming in. So that's going to be very exciting for me to get the new students in there. I loaded my class up. I worked on my waiting list. I think I got a waiting list again.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I worked on it, you know, and tried to get as many in there as I could because when somebody hears that we have a waiting list, they may go somewhere else or they may try another school or something. But my tip to them is get on the waiting list because if we call somebody and that person doesn't return our calls within a day or two, we're going to move to the next person on the waiting list. So even though you may be fifth in line, you may jump two or three because the other person ahead of you didn't answer the phone or they changed their plans or something like that.
So be ready.
Be ready to go. Get all your FAFSA done, all your financial aid stuff done, and be ready to come in class. So a lot of that, getting in my class, you have to have all that done beforehand. And that will help you get in there. So, again, all you got to do is go to georgestonecollege.edu, check out their website, go to the chat feature. You can ask all these questions to myself or to counselors or financial aid, and they will reach out to you and talk to you about getting into the class. So we've been on break, for a week now. And I got another – I go back on the 2nd, which is next Friday, for my going back to school. And we'll have I'm gonna try to get the show in next Friday. I'm hoping they'll let me leave just long enough to come in and do the show.
Okay.
So I'm working. I gotta talk to my principal about that. But I'm sure if not, we may do it remotely. I don't know. We'll talk about
it. Maybe it's a good excuse to come to you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, come on over to school and we'll do it from there. Right. We'll just do pep talk from George Stone the whole entire show. Everybody.
Sounds like so much fun.
That would be so much fun.
It would.
Why couldn't we do that?
We can make it happen.
We can make it happen. So I'll let you know on that. But I'm definitely planning on being here next Friday, one way or the other, whether it's remote or here on site. So hopefully they'll just let me come on site. Like I said, the students come back on the 12th. I got 13 new ones coming in. So I'm getting ready for the new year and just trying to, look at what I got to do. Most of it is getting things organized again, trying to get things in its place and that kind of stuff. Because When you work in a shop, it's just like any business or whatever shop. It gets disorganized and things get put away in different places or not get put up at all. I'm not going to say my shop is like that, but, there's little tidying we have to do.
Right.
And my students did a great deal of that before they left. We did a major cleanup last Thursday before we left, and they did all that for me and got all that squared away. Because I think they take pride in the fact that when they're in there, they're a student that's already been there. Let's call them a senior student that's been in the class for a while. I think they take pride in the fact that they got new students coming in, and they can say, this is our class,
Yeah, they made it to the top.
Right, but also welcome to our class, right? And they have this feeling of, bringing you in and helping you to get engaged and to learn in our class. So it's kind of neat to have this culture, if you will, of my classroom and how it works. And this is going to be exciting when we come back. And I'll talk more about that as I get the new students transition in and that kind of stuff, and we'll go on to the new year. So I was trying to think of subject line today, and a lot of times I use things that happen at school while I wasn't at school, right? So I kind of have to think about, okay, what kind of subject matter can I talk about on my show? And typically I start thinking about that, somewhere in the middle of the week or so. And I got a couple subjects that just popped up this week, and one of them was by text message, right? And I'm like, this is awesome because now I can use this lesson on my show. And the text message I got, this was from a customer from the school, okay? And we had serviced the engine, his boat, and he had taken his boat and was running it. And his text message was actually a text message with a video and a sound bite. I'm like, okay. So people want me to troubleshoot this stuff on the phone. This is what this kind of is about. How do you troubleshoot a boat when it's not there, right?
Right.
And his question to me was, I think my boat is using more fuel now, and to a point of I noticed that. So, instead of me texting back, I typically call. I make a phone call because this is a subject that I don't want to text back and forth. And, on this, I call them up. And my question is, what makes you think it's using more fuel? Well, I just think it is. And, that's the answer, right?
Right.
Well, how do you know that it is? Are you gauging this off of your fuel gauge? Are you gauging it off electronics? How are you experiencing the motor consuming more fuel, right? How are you doing that? And I think this is a good lesson for everybody out there that owns a boat and operates a boat. You need to document things as you go. I document my fuel burn, how much fuel I put in, how distance I go, because that documentation that you can do is a great troubleshooting tool. You can't come to your technician or to me and say, hey, I think I'm burning more fuel. There's so many factors involved in that, right?
Right.
So my first question to him was, how do you know? And he's like, well, I think I put more fuel in it this time. And I went to the same place kind of situation. Well, there's a lot that goes to that. Or is your boat loaded heavily, more heavy than the last time you used it? That's a question, right? Maybe you ran at different RPMs when you went to that location. That's another thing that would cause more fuel burn and that kind of stuff, right? Maybe it's a different time of year, because boats tend to get better fuel economy when it's cooler out. They run more efficiently, right, than they do when it's hot and humid. It could have been a humid day when you took it out last time and it burned more fuel. But those kind of fuel burn scenarios shouldn't be something that would trigger a major, say, oh, I think I burned more fuel kind of situation, right? So the point is they need to document their fuel, their how they run their boat, whether it's by paper and pencil, you know, kind of situation, whether it's by gas receipts kind of thing. I like fuel economy if I'm in a boat, a car, or whatever. I want to get the best fuel economy I can, right? Boats aren't typically, they don't get the best fuel economy. So, you know, a 0.5 or so change or 0.2 change on a fuel burn can be a big expense when you're on the boat. So you got to go out there and take this approach of, okay, let's say I just bought a brand new boat, brand new, okay? I want to go out there on a normal load, how I'm going to normally run my boat. I'm going to document what kind of RPMs it takes to get the boat up on plane. Where does the boat run most comfortably, where I'm not, you know, wide open or off a plane kind of situation where the boat's getting its best fuel economy? How much fuel did I put in the boat? You know, how big is my fuel tank? How much fuel did I put in the boat? How far did I go? How many people were with me? All these factors relate to fuel burn. Okay, how much fuel you're using. So it's very important to start at the beginning. So he didn't have an answer for me. Okay, he didn't really have an answer. And I know this boat has a module on it, so he can actually look at how much fuel he's burning on his phone. He has a phone module. On my boat, I have a gauge that tells me how much fuel I'm burning. It tells me gallons per hour, and it tells me distance and how many gallons I've used and all this stuff, and I monitor that, you know. And if you don't have a baseline, it's not going to work. So you got to have a baseline. That baseline helps you to troubleshoot if you have a problem. Think about it. If you take that boat to a dealership and you tell them, hey, I think I'm burning more fuel. Can you fix my boat or look at my boat? And you're really not burning more fuel because you really don't know. You're an hour's worth of labor. You're going to burn easily. And that's way more fuel than the other times, you know, when you take it to a dealership. I'm burning more fuel. When you burn more fuel in these situations, I'm looking for a problem. Some other questions were, how's it running? Oh, it's running fine. No problems. I said, is it getting up on RPMs? Or, you know, everything working fine? Is it idling good? All these things I'm asking can be an indication of a fuel problem or a ignition problem or anything like that where it's not, you know, something's not working right, which can cause you to burn more fuel. So it's kind of funny to me when people send me these email or text messages with videos. I had no idea what I was looking at. You know, I see this, he sent me a sound text. I'm like, what is that? You know, what is that sound, you know, and that kind of stuff. Now, believe it or not, sometimes I have fixed boats by
the
situation.
Text.
Yes. By video or sound, you know, I had a lady that was a parts manager at a dealership that I worked at, and she was very smart. And she was offshore one day with several people fishing on a boat, and they started having a problem with one of the engines, right? She's offshore. She sends me a message. Hey, I'm having this issue. Look at what's going on with this engine. And so I actually texted her because, you know, just back and forth. I said, check this, check that, check that. And she said, you know, about an hour later, sent me back. We got her running. It was actually a kinked fuel line, and I found it, right? So she dug in. And I was telling her, look for that stuff. Look for kinked fuel lines. Look for water separating filters, these things. Just try to find your problem if you see anything obvious, you know, visual inspection, right? And she did that, and I was able to fix it. So I've done that in the past. I've able to fix stuff by phone. But the point of this is understand your engine, document things, make sure that when you go out, and it may seem like a hassle, maybe it takes away the fun. I don't know. I think it's fun, I guess, because I'm technical, right? You know, I'm looking at my receipts and my register, and I go, okay, I've earned this many, and this is how much the fuel cost me. I watch that too. I'm always complaining, man, the fuel went up this week 10 cents or whatever, right? So I'm always paying attention to that, especially on my diesel, because that diesel fuel jumps crazy.
Yeah.
It could be 35 cents up one day and 10 cents down the other, and I'm always paying attention to all those kind of things because where you can save money, right?
Right.
So you save money. Why are you saving money? So you can put more money in your boat, right?
You can
so
boat
you go out
more.
Boating, right? Right. So you can put more fuel in your boat and you go run your boat. That's why you save money. That's the only reason to save money.
That's right.
To go out in your boat.
More money, more boating.
Right, exactly. And that's the way I look at it, you know? So anyway, document your boat from day one. Whether it's a used boat, a new boat, or whatever, document your boat from day one and start understanding how the boat is functioning, how many RPMs it runs on a normal load. Open it wide open to see what the RPMs are at that point, you know, see what your fuel burn is at different ranges. All those kind of things will help you. And with today's engines, if you have the technology on board, it's going to tell you how much. And you can actually mess with your throttle, mess with the trim, and you can find that sweet spot where you're maybe not going as fast as you want to go, but maybe you're just a mile or two under that, right? But you're also in an RPM range where it's saving you fuel. And that's a big deal. You know, I had a boat one time, it burned 45 gallons an hour. If I was running wide open throttle, 45 gallons an hour, it's gone. 45 gallons, right? But I could get somewhere. I could go 65 miles in an hour because that's how fast that boat would run at wide open, maybe a little faster, right? So is that fuel ratio good or bad? You know, I get there quicker, but I sure burned a lot of fuel,
right?
So that's a factor that you got to look at as well. Again, this is a call-in show. You can call or text 850-437-1620. I want to hear from you. Maybe you have issues with your fuel economy or you don't know that you're getting good fuel economy or not. Maybe you want to investigate that. There's so many factors to that, propping, load, type of hull, all these things, but getting that baseline helps, okay? So this customer, particular customer, is going to start monitoring the fuel burn and everything and what they do and that kind of stuff, and they're going to get back with me. I don't feel that they have a problem. If you feel like you got a problem, go see Key Marine, let them check it out, you know? And make sure, because a high fuel burn does indicate a problem. So if you are burning a lot of fuel or losing a lot of fuel, fuel tank leaks, lines and stuff like that leaking. That's another question I asked him. Do you smell any fuel on board? If you ever smell fuel on your boat, you should never smell fuel. Maybe when you're filling up, you might get some out of the vent. But typically when you board your boat on a normal day, and not when you've just filled up, but you're going out on your boat, or anytime during the times you're using the boat, if you smell fuel, that's when you need to really start thinking about, okay, I need to investigate this. Fuel lines, fuel filters, these things leaking in the boat is a major safety hazard, right? So you need to check that, right? So let me give that out there for you. So if you feel like you got fuel burn, but you're smelling fuel, totally different problem, right? So pay attention to that. And then I was in the gym, walking on a treadmill, okay? These people are probably listening to me and are going, man, I don't want to talk to him no more. But so I'm on the gym on the treadmill, and I think it was Wednesday. And a guy walks up to me. Now, he's one of my previous customers. I own my own business, right? And I worked on his boat. He owns a Volvo stern drive, okay? And he walks over to me, and he leans in, and I'm thinking he's just going to have a chat with me, you know, hey, how you doing, kind of chat. But it's like, I got a question, you know, so that was the question. I got a question, right? So I knew it was about the boat because that's where the questions typically go to. I knew it wasn't about my technique on the treadmill, you know? So anyway, right. So, hey, y'all, I tell you this in fun, okay? So it's fun. I enjoy helping people. Don't get me wrong, you know, but I got to make it fun and funny and comical, right, too?
Absolutely.
In the same thing, right?
It's easier to remember.
Yeah. So he leans into me and says, I got a problem. And I said, okay. You know, what is it, right? So we start the conversation as I'm walking on the treadmill, right? So I must have not been walking very fast because I could breathe, okay? So I think it was earlier in the week. Anyway, all right. So I'm talking to him, and he says, my alarm is going off. And he's got a Volvo stern drive, and he's got an alarm going off. So now he's trying to talk to me about this warning alarm that's going off, a sounding alarm. Typically, a boat will have an alarm. Should have an alarm to give you a warning. Maybe it's a fuel restriction, overheat, low voltage, some kind of fault, those kind of things. Maybe the system has a problem with that too, you know, and it gives you an alarm, right?
Right.
So that could be it as well. So he's telling me he has this alarm going off, so I start asking him questions. Again, troubleshooting, right? You ask questions. It's
Absolutely.
A big deal. You have to ask questions. And started asking a question, when does the alarm go off? How long does it take for it to go off? And all these things, right? So he says, you know, after about 30 minutes, it starts sounding an alarm. And I said, okay, so when you, what do you do when it sounds the alarm? I back it off and I come to idle. I said, is the alarm still going off? Yes, it's still going off. And then he says, I said, okay, when you shut the motor off and turn it on immediately, is the alarm still sounding, right? And he says, yes. That is an indication to me, typically that's an overheat. Because when you overheat, the temperature rises, right?
Yep.
And it takes a little while for that temperature to come back down. So if you're running along and you get an alarm and you can't, you don't have any gauges telling you what this overheat is, then you have to try to figure out, you know, is it an overheat or whatever. So by shutting, coming back to an idle, shutting your motor off, wait a minute or so, turn the key back on and start it back up again and see if you still got your alarm. Typically, that's an overheat, right? So that's what I told him. I said, it's probably an overheat. But how are you going to troubleshoot it? Now we're having to figure out, okay, how is he going to troubleshoot? So he knows his boat pretty good, you know. So this particular engine has sensors on the manifolds and it has sensors on the thermostat housing. So if the block overheats or manifolds overheats, that kind of thing. So I start walking him through this, you know, troubleshooting without the boat there in front of me. And I said, okay, did you do this or did you that? Typically when you have an overheat, the best thing to do is take a temp gun and put on your engine. You know, and it's not one that you stick in the meat kind of temp gun, the laser
right.
type temp gun, right? although those may work for it, I don't know. Back in the day, we used to have temp sticks. It was kind of crazy when back in the old days, before all this technology.
3 years ago?
I was there. I think I was the one that invented the first boat, maybe. I don't know, not really. I hadn't been in it that long. So you used to take this temp stick and you'd rub it on the engine and you'd watch the temp stick and it would melt at a certain temperature. So you didn't know what temperature the motor was other than the gauge, but if you put this melt stick on there, it actually would melt when it got above 165 degrees and it would melt. You would know the engine is over 165 degrees. Now, if your gauge didn't match that, of course, you knew you had a issue with the gauge and stuff not matching that kind of stuff. But nowadays we got laser temp guns and stuff like that. So it's pretty easy if you have one of those, and they're inexpensive. You can buy them on Amazon, $45 or something like that. And take it with you on the boat. It's not a bad tool to have on your boat. So I told him, I said, that's what you need to do. You need to take a temp gun and verify that you actually have an overheat issue versus anything else going on. He said, well, I changed my alarm. And a lot of times, typically, that's what people do if their alarm's sounding. If your alarm's sounding off and on and is working, it seems to be working, it's not the alarm. Now, there are some alarms that will sound because they short out. But not when they're working and not working. That's typically a problem, right? So I ran through it with him. I said, okay, check it with a temp gun, check your manifolds, check your engine. And then if you don't have a temp gun, the other thing you could do is disconnect the temperature sender one at a time. He has three on this boat, one, two, three, and see if the alarm disappears at that point. Doesn't verify that the motor's overheating, but it verifies it's located to that point, right? It could be a bad sensor, right? So again, knowing your boat, understanding that the systems on the boat helps you to troubleshoot and to help your technician troubleshoot. You can save a bunch of time and money by understanding your engine, understanding how to relay that message to the technician, to the dealership that's working on your boat, and all these clues to the problem that you're giving may help in troubleshooting, right?
Absolutely.
When you give that information to the technician and how you do that. So that's just good troubleshooting tips, understanding your boat, making sure that you're familiar with your boat. All this information you can take to your technician when you need to troubleshoot it. So it all helps.
I need to apply that to my car.
Yeah, the same thing. The car is the same thing. So, wow, thanks for listening today. Get out there and check out Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida, located at 5621 Bower Road. Give them a call, 850-492-0487. They got great deals on Yamaha Mercury engines, and right now is the time to buy.